settle in, get comfortable, let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvia Avery.
Everyone, this is Sylvia Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and paranormal information show that's designed to stretch our minds and help us to think outside of the box. It's all about sharing interdimensional communication that will help us to understand the nature of our existence as human beings and as spirit beings, because after all, this is what we are, spirit beings having a human experience. We don't follow any religious beliefs or concepts, but believe everyone has the right to their own way of thinking. On today's show, we are going to be talking about the different forms of mental mediumship, and that is what we call clairvoyance, clairaudience, and clairsentience, what the mechanism is behind these particular ways of communication with the spirit world, and how they actually come about. What makes you receptive to thoughts incoming from elsewhere? Why is it that others are not so receptive, and lots more?
Hello, I'm Mick Avery. Sylvie and I are mediums, healers, and authors, and I'd just like to mention that we have four books that are full of groundbreaking information, and they are out on general release. They are The Spirit Within, Spirit Walks with Gregory, The Soul Group, Its Meaning, Magic, and Imagery, and Journeys of the Inner Songbird. They can be found on our website at www.spirit-teaching.com, on amazon.com, or from any good bookstore. They are educational, life-affirming, and life-altering for people to significantly form a more advanced and self-aware approach to the world we live in, life after death, and life in other dimensions. They are transcripts of our work with the spirit guide Gregory Hay, who will be appearing on this program today, as he does every week. As well as Spirit's Work, every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on bloginservice.com, we have another radio show called The Spirit Teaching Radio Show, which is on Tuesdays at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on artistfirst.com. Oh, and of course, both those websites do carry an archive of the show material. So, I am a deep trance medium, and each week on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an Earth life existence nearly 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the spirit world, so they may use it to speak through, and I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. I go into the deep trance state, which basically is a little like going to sleep, and from that moment I know nothing of what happens until I come back into my body when the spirit communicator leaves. I have an out-of-body experience, and more often than not, I don't actually know where my spirit friends have taken me, though sometimes I do remember it. And it might be a different thing each time. It might be kind of like a little room, or I might actually even feel like a bug on a flower. So that's, you know, it's kind of different every time. So to me, it's just like I've gone to sleep for a few minutes, and it can be 2 hours or more in physical time. I developed this rare gift over many years, and I made the arrangement to do this work with Gregory Hay before I came to the Earth to have this physical existence. And although I didn't develop this gift until later in life, we have now been doing this for over 11 years. On our shows, we discuss a different topic each week, and the subject matter is endless. The spirit world have a lot to say and hope they give us food for thought. So without further ado, I'll go off and make myself ready to be in the trance state. And Sylvie, I'm sure, will explain a little more about who Gregory is and the White Cloud Group. So over to you, Sylvie.
Thanks. Thanks, Nick. Yes, Gregory is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. And they consist of scientific minds of all description, eminent scientists, physicists, philosophers, scholars, and ordinary people. And between them, they have immense knowledge and insight. They've come because there is a need for us to understand the nature of our existence here and in the spirit world, and hopefully point us in a more positive direction by helping us to think beyond the constraint of our human minds. Our mission statement is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others, and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. So for those of you who have just joined us, you're welcome to Spirit's Work, and you're going to listen to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery, and I'm Sylvie Avery. Okay. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, friends.
How are you?
I am very well, thank you for asking. I am always very well, of course, as is everyone, but mostly in the spirit world.
That's lovely. So today I've told everybody that we're going to be talking about mental mediumship, which we call clairaudience, clairvoyance, and clairsentience. I don't know where you'd like to start, but we can describe what that actually means.
Yes, of course. So someone who is clairaudient is someone who hears orally all things that are brought about between the spirit world and physical life. Now, this is actually quite interesting, because what can happen during this scenario is that quite simply the spirit world will have convened a small team of other spirit individuals to perhaps act as go-betweens from the spirit world to those who may be acting as the doorkeeper or guide of the physical being who is being used as a translator in this situation. What will happen is that during clairaudience, that the physical being will actually be hearing words transmitted by the spirit world. This may actually be the words of the spirit individual, the loved one, themselves, or it may be via another spirit guide. It is not to say that one is any different to another, except perhaps just the placement or the juxtaposition between one and another. It may be that the loved one who is in the spirit world has difficulty, perhaps their emotion has got in the way, and this can cause an inability for the spirit themselves to actually be able to transmit the information in an audible way. Naturally enough, all of this will depend upon the development of the medium themselves to be able to interpret or to be able to actually pick up succinctly enough the different words that are brought about. And how this is brought about is that they are impacted upon the mind. Or they may actually be able to hear them audibly using their ears. Or it may well be an inner ear sense that is being utilized in this way. In any case, it is always going to be that it will be through love that the origins are set. Communication is always about the need for perhaps repatriation of thoughts or repatriation of the love that exists between the spirit communicator and the one who is the receiver on the earth plane. It is necessary for this communication perhaps to let people know in physical life that they are still well, that they are still completely intact, as it were, in their consciousness, and all their physical memories perhaps may be a little jumbled, and that again will depend upon the ability of the medium themselves to be able to reiterate what exactly the spirit being is trying to say to them, the message they are trying to convey.
So it doesn't matter if they're not that good at it themselves. They have a doorkeeper or a guide to help them to do it.
Yes, quite yes. So. Now, and it may well be, of course, that sometimes the spirit who wishes to communicate, that the excitement is such that they have finally got through, or that they have the chance, you see, to be presented with this, that they actually get quite agitated. And sometimes their energy can be so strong in this that they actually become so that it is difficult for the message to be relayed. And in which case, yes, a go-between will be used to interrelay the message.
So the medium, so in the clairaudient fashion that we're talking about, the medium will hear the message that's going to be, and they relay and interpret that.
Yes, of course, because after all, it may well be that sometimes, not necessarily, of course, in a private sitting, but it may well be that some aspects of a message will not need to be relayed, because particularly if it is during a public gathering, they may be things that are of an embarrassing nature, perhaps. And so there will always be the situation that the medium would actually think on their feet and actually perhaps withhold certain elements of that information if they feel that it is not worthy or appropriate to understand.
So they might say it in their own words that means roughly the same thing, but putting it more politely or whatever it is.
Well, yes, of course. But of course, sometimes this can actually quite upset the spirit who is trying to communicate, because it will be necessary perhaps to say something in a particular pedantic way, because that in itself will be evidence of the way that they thought when in physical life, and will be more evidence for them of the nature of the existence of that continuing life of the loved one.
Or they might come out with these embarrassing words.
Well, yes, quite so. that is so... Whoever.
Typical of
Yes, quite so.
Yes. Okay.
And so, you see, very often it can be just a part of the nature of the individual coming through. And very often in clairaudience, the medium will also experience other senses. They may well actually bring about elements of their sensitivity, in which case they will become more clairsentient as well as clairaudient. Now, clairsentient means quite simply that they are sensing the aura, they are sensing the spirit coming close to them. And again, it is simply done through the possibility of their spirit team who are working with the medium, also working with the spirit who wishes to communicate. And so they are being able to bring this sensitivity very close to the medium, and that the medium then is able to pick from this sensitivity, using their own sensitive structure, of how they are able to define certain elements within the spirit being who is drawn close to them, and then relay this message, you see. So during clairaudience, then, they may have definitely have different elements of their sensitivity. The spirit during clairaudience may not actually have to tell them how high they are. They may have a sense of how high they are. You see?
How tall
they have grown in physical life. And perhaps even having a sense of whether they have part of a limb missing or something like that. It doesn't necessarily always have to come out in words. It is something that the sensitivities also rise very much to the surface. And I would have to say that this form of sensitivity, so clairsentient, is something that will usually accompany the clairaudience or clairvoyance. So clairsentience is something that is usually present in any kind of mediumistic skill. to some degree or another, because it is something that actually brings different kinds of solidity to the communication process.
Yes, and presumably then, if the loved one that wants to give the message is getting so close to the medium to relay it, either clairaudiently or clairvoyantly, then they will pick up. They will sense that person anyway, won't they?
Yes.
To some degree or other.
Yes, absolutely so.
Mm.
Yes.
And develop that one way.
Yes.
Okay. So a clairaudient medium is more like a telephone, really.
Yes.
A sensing telephone.
Yes, quite so.
Okay. And a clairvoyant.
And a clairvoyant is someone who sees spirit, who sees those of us on our side of life as they come close into their aura, perhaps, or maybe even sees spirit as clear as they see other physical beings on physical side of life. So, in actual fact, they can walk into a room that may contain just a few physical people, yet may be absolutely full, and many of them will be those from the spirit world. And of course, this perhaps is something that many of those wishing to have mediumistic skills or wishing to develop their mediumistic skills would like to acquire. Because obviously, it is so much better if you can see the spirit clearly manifesting themselves than in any other way. However, it is not to say that it is primarily or always going to be considered a far better way of using mental mediumship. It is just that one is definitely not above another, but are all really purely equal in their regard. So, yes, what will happen then is the spirit team will be able to make manifest to the medium, because of their development, their sensitivity, that they will be able to make these spirit manifest in exactly the way that they were when they walked in physical life. And what actually happens during that is that the spirit is able to manifest their memory, their cellular memory structure, of how they looked in physical life. And perhaps they may even present a scene or a scenario of how they passed. This is something else, of course, that is brought in to, as I was discussing earlier, with the sensitivity, because it may well be that using the sensitivity, they are using that to impress upon the medium of the way in which they passed, the feeling that they may have had during the passing, or what ill it was that took them to the spirit world, you see?
Mm.
And they can actually impress this upon them using the medium's sensitivity to perhaps bring a pain in their chest, or, of course, it is only temporary, and it is not something that is really forceful particularly, although it may be, because at some times it may be that the spirit is so close, or the matter is so urgent that they get so excited about the connection again, that it is really all a matter of control. And what can occur is that the spirit can impact this feeling very heavily upon the medium, in which case the medium may well ask the spirit to step back and allow that feeling to dissipate, you see.
Mm.
Because they have got the message, thank you very much, and that they need to move on.
So some clairvoyants might see it, people in real life, as in, you know, real in the room.
Yes.
As it were. Or they might see pictures in their mind.
Yes, quite so. This is possible as well, that it may not necessarily be a moving, as it were, physical being, physical entity of a spirit form, but that it will actually be just as observing a still picture, and that perhaps it is a scene of a memory that the being has gone through in their physical life. And it is purely and simply a scene plucked from the cellular memory, from the memory of consciousness that the physical being has taken with them to the spirit world. And that is something that is transferred and relayed.
Is it usually in colour?
It is usually in colour, yes, dear friend. Unless there is a particular reason for a black and white image to be exposed. And there may be for matters of clarity or for what they are trying to bring across. Perhaps it was something that was relevant to the information that they are talking of during that meeting.
Mm. Now, I understand that some people work with colour a lot.
Yes.
As symbols, and there's symbols as well, isn't there?
Well, yes, of course. Now, you must understand that people will not necessarily always hear or always see or sense the things that you would think would be necessary. It may be that the medium has brought about a kind of a shortened code in order to transmit or bring about messages from the spirit world. And that would be something that has transpired and developed using the spirit team who works with the medium. And so this can be something that is not necessarily complex, but that perhaps will be just represented by a letter. For example, their name may just be a large M or a small M, or a large P or a small P, depending upon the size or the age of the spirit communicator.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be that is just the signatory of their name, or that they perhaps have a different set of initials, perhaps. Or it may be that they are given a whole street number, or a street number and a name that is actually written for them to see, for the medium to see. You understand? And so that is something that is without words, spoken in form, but that is actually clearly visual in the medium's mind. And how this is able to be transmitted is simply and purely through the ability to transmit thought from the spirit world to the physical side of life, in very much the same way that you are able to receive and transmit thought yourselves from one being to another. This is something, in fact, that happens with many people on your side of life at many different times of your life. It may be that you are in touch with your spirit, that aspect, that higher aspect of self, and that this contact enables you to understand incoming messages. Perhaps your awareness of an impending situation or something like that, which is always, of course, something that those of mediumistic skill may pick up. I'm not using the same saying that they will always pick it up, because it may be that they are distracted by some other situations in physical life. So it could be that a person experiences the feeling that they know that the phone is going to ring and that who is actually going to be at the other end of it. Well, this is another form of mediumship in a way. It is a way of sensing and understanding, or actually maybe possibly even hearing the words being said, or actually seeing them being written in the mind's eye. And this again is something that is brought about by the spirit world contact through their spirit development and the relationship between their physical state and the spirit world.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery, and we're discussing mental mediumship. I'm Sylvie Avery. Welcome. There are, I think next, before we go on with that, I think we should discuss, if we can, the psychic abilities, the difference between mediumistic skills and psychic skills.
Yes, and of course, as I understand it, people in different countries will think that a psychic is something that is all of those situations that we have just talked about. And so there is a very great difference here between what people's perception of different abilities are and how they are used in words and language, how that differs between the actual assent of the meaning of what the word is. So a psychic, in fact, is someone who reads the auric field of an individual who is presented to them in physical reality. This auric reading will actually have situations and information of the events of that person's physical life, as you will all carry around with you the events of your physical life upon your auric field. The auric field, of course, is the surrounding of your physical self by the extending energy that you create. So, in saying that, a physical being who has become more aware of their spirit or more creative with their consciousness, perhaps they are very positive or loving in their way of physical state. This simply means then that their auric field through that love will be extended. And this will mean, of course, that more information can be contained upon it. It may well be that different situations to do with the physical state of life have come about during that physical life, and there will be a reminder of that situation somewhere within the auric field. And this is what a psychic really reads. Now, this may be confusing to many people, because many people may feel, as I said, that a psychic is someone who is actually clairvoyant, clairsentient, or clairaudient. A clairvoyant, clairsentient, or clairaudient is actually a medium, not a psychic. A psychic purely reads the auric field. A psychic will not necessarily be a medium, but a medium will always have psychic abilities, that is, the ability to read the auric field of another living tissue being.
Okay, because we hear of, and what about things like psychometry, what we call psychometry?
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, that actually works because of the transmission of contact, of physical life with systems or with the situation in their environment. They may leave something of their memory within that environment or upon an object. So what I'm saying is then, dear friends, you may pick up a ring or a watch or some other physical object that has been worn or used during a physical life, and that physical life wearing will leave an impression upon that physical object of the things and events, situations in life that were strong enough to impact themselves upon the object. So what you are doing in psychometry is you are actually picking up, you as a medium are picking up these elements of energy that have been left upon it. Now, it may well be that it is not a solid object that you are picking this up from, but you are actually dealing with other forms of material. It may be that you are just in the room where another being has been, and that you are actually picking up the psychometry of the air that you are breathing in. And in this way, you see, when you walk into a room or something like that, when you are just sitting, relaxing, or whatever it is you are doing, you are leaving impressions of your energy, of the situation of your life at that time. Sometimes it may be that this energy gravitates and permeates to the walls that are surrounding your home, perhaps. Perhaps it is to do with a particular room that an individual, through constant toing and froing, being in their life, that their feelings are left upon the walls. And this can be something that can be psychometrically picked up by the medium themselves, because it is a message of their life. It is a situation of the elements of their energy, of how they felt. Perhaps they were negative, or maybe they were very positive and loving. Perhaps they had a beautiful auric field about them. Perhaps they were very happy in that environment. And all of these things will be picked up within the environmental station of the room itself. Similarly, I have to say, in the environmental impact of when you as a physical being walk in a forest or walk upon a place that is spiritually interactive, such as an ancient building. That is something else, that what you are picking up is psychometric value of the people that have been in that building, how they have left and imprinted their love within the walls, how they have perhaps perfected certain aspects of their physical life. And in their understanding and their knowledge gathered, they have actually left imprints of that life and knowledge behind when they have left. So you may also, of course, be able to pick up other psychometric feelings and senses through such a thing as water or sand. Quite simply, you can use the simple experiment of having one person before you, perhaps you would not wish to know who they are, so you would ask them to actually place their hands in a bowl of water or in a bucket of sand, you see, or a bowl of sand, and you would just ask them to do that, and then they would go and sit down, and you would, it would be you as a medium who would actually replace their hands with your hands. And in that way, you would pick up their sensitivity that they had left from their auric field and their actual sensitivity of their divine life source that has been left imprinted within the molecular structure of the water or sand. So in the same way, you see, you can actually bring understanding to and read certain messages or possibilities from the auric field or from the physical state source of life that interacted with that form of matter.
And you can do flower readings, can't you, where you pick a flower and then the medium, you give the medium the flower.
And the medium, of course, does not know which flower came from whom.
Yes, but that's psychic work.
Yes, indeed so. But it may also include, as I said, it may also include clairsentience as well, because it may well be psychic to first pick up the flower and understand certain situations of the being, and then it may well be that other sensitivities are brought forward due to the development of the medium, and in which case what will happen is that these sensitivities will then take over. So you cannot say then that that is a psychic reading necessarily, but it may well be a medium reading.
And like you say, all mediums are psychic, so they will use the both.
Yes, quite
so. In that respect then, so what does it take to be a medium? In this instance, I mean, you hear of people being born clairvoyant.
Yes.
And other people developing it later on. What's the difference? How does one know?
It is quite simple, dear friend, that for some beings, when they are brought into physical life, they remember situations of their spirit journey And perhaps they have brought those gifts that they had as a spirit being to that physical journey. It is just that some beings are fortunate in that they already remember the gifts that they have, or have never lost them from the situation of birth. You must remember that as a child, many children will have very many gifts of the spirit that will be available to them. It may well be that these gifts are lost through the ensuing impact of physical life in their lives. Perhaps it is that they are driven through extreme negativity. Doesn't mean to say that because they are, that they will necessarily lose their gifts. It just means that it will be an extraneous circumstance that will bring about difficulty, and that they may lose their gift. You see? So, it is always to say then that if a child is, and their gifts are realized at the time that they are still small, then it most certainly will be that they can be cherished and nourished within those gifts. That they are perhaps taught not to be alarmed about being able to see people who are non-living in the physical reality, but rather that they are lucky to have that ability and to cherish it and pursue it and develop it for the use of others, you see, so that spirit contact can be made from the physical dimension to the spirit world. And vice versa.
But if you don't know that you've got any gifts, but you hope that you have...
Yes. Then that is a matter of development, of course, and that all people will be able to develop at some stage in their life if that is what they would wish to do. They may obviously have to understand that there will be certain things they will have to do for that development. It is not something that they will just automatically adopt. This is something that they will have to gradually learn about, perhaps starting with their visitation of meditation in their daily life. It may be that during this course of meditation that they will be able to understand certain relationships between their physical state and the spirit world, being that they are meditating for their spirit within, perhaps. And that relationship is so centrally important to the development of any spiritual gift, really. Although many people tend to perhaps skate over that bit because they cannot be bothered, or perhaps they know that already because there are some ascended being. Well, you see, it is very difficult, is it not, to actually bring conditions of ego into physical state reality, purely and simply because what you look upon for some as being just ordinary is really very abnormal to other people. And so it is a condition of position of where you see yourself in relation to the world you live in.
Yes, but we always assume that mediums are going to be nice people, but that's not always the case.
No, quite so. Exactly. It doesn't necessarily mean to say that because a person is a medium that you would automatically assume that spirits are only going to work with those who are loving and well-being. It is not always the case.
What about remote viewing? We hear a lot about that.
Well, yes, remote viewing itself is when an individual is able to dip within the timeline that exists between the spirit reality and the physical reality. So in other words, you must understand that between different dimensions, time shifts change. It simply means that in the spirit world, there is no physical time. Physical time is only something that exists in physical reality. It's something that is connected to the path and passage of light sensitivity from one place to another place, or the mechanism of movement and energy used to move from one place to another place. So it is a matter of the conduction of shear forces that are involved in that movement, or perhaps other forces of magnetic power or electromagnetic power or some other energy form that is enabled to be able to move physical form from one place to another place. Naturally, in physical time of the Earth, it is constructed around how sound and light are able to be transmitted from one place to another and in relation to the distance between one place and another place. Time is equaled out in the measures of how the Earth orbits physically the Sun, and how different planets organize themselves in their own orbits. Now, it is to say that these are measures of the rotation of the Earth and how these different rotations are meted out in different degrees in universal time and space. As I say, in the spirit world, physical time and space does not exist. It is more a form of quantum time and space, which means quite simply that time is folded. And so very often what you may have in a situation such as remote viewing or remote sensing, that you will actually perhaps cross the timeline border. You will dip into a relationship within those in the spirit world who wish to bring you factual information or something from some other thing, that event that may happen in the future. This is perhaps to enable that event to be averted, or it may be so that there is some seership brought into this interplay between the relationship of time. It is there to bring to the attention of others that, if accurate, that there is this existence between the duality of time in physical state and the time of quantum time field in the spirit reality or other dimensional fields of reality. So in fact, what you are doing is, if you are looking at it in a physical way, you are merely folding the time upon itself as you look from one moment to another moment via the spirit world.
So there's, what about tarot cards? What do you think of tarot cards?
Well, my dear friend, to begin with, using any kind of mechanism to allow you to interpret the vision and sensing that you have of another being is something that has been used for thousands of years. It may be that it is cast in the ways of runestones, or it may be that it is just cast in the way of little sticks.
Tea leaves or crystal balls.
Absolutely so. And all this is doing is that it is centering, and I'm not belittling any of them at all, but you must understand the engineering mechanics within the structure of the thought form that it brings about. And what it brings about is that you are bringing your sensitivity to bear by channeling your mind upon what you see in front of you. You are actually able to leave it and let it be vacated so that the spirit world are able to draw close. And that is what they do. They will actually draw close and bring you information with regard to that form that you see. So it will be an inspiration Now, I understand, of course, that within tarot cards that there are certain descriptions of each of the characters and they invoke certain forms of behavior, or that they translate for certain forms of behavior that has befallen the individual, such as in all walks of life, and that there will be very many different forms of behavior that are depicted in different card forms. And so these forms are merely there purely to say that they are structures of form that are then augmented by the medium or by the person reading the card, that you are also brought about with, as I say, this inspiration from what that image invokes within you. So you are not only reiterating your learned response to the card because of what it actually is depicted and what that means in physical reality, but you are also relaying how that transcends into the physical life before you and how you are therefore able to help that individual understand something of themselves.
So they can be read psychically or mediumistically or both?
Yes, quite so. Mm-hmm.
So these things, these crystal balls and tea leaves and that sort of thing, are like a prop, really, to help you to, in certain ways, just sort of like not concentrate.
Well, yes.
On too much about what's coming.
Yes, to a point. I would say that scrying or using a crystal ball is something that perhaps, you see, the physical being who is using it will actually possibly see an image or will be implanted an image, not necessarily within the ball itself, but an image that forms at the back of the retina or that is within the inner mind, you see?
I see.
And that is something that it is as though it is forming within the ball itself. It may well be that the spirit world are able to transmit it to the ball itself. However, that is somewhat of a clumsy apparatus. It may well be that it is just the fact of them holding the ball that the energy is transmitted through their sensitivity. Their auric field perhaps may pick up this sensitivity long before they actually use the sensitive mechanism as they would in being clairsentient within the auric field or the communication between the spirit world.
Yes, that's what I meant. I think that they could be holding anything. So.
Well, absolutely. A stone would be quite a simple device also to use, that as long as it was something that you could feel and touch and have in that sense, you see. I mean, in just the same way, dear friends, you may perhaps use other objects. You may hold a crystal or something like that, a crystal stone, and feel the energy that comes from that. I'm saying this quite simply because I know that a lot of people on your side of life understand and feel a great empathy with certain particular stones because they fire a certain element within their consciousness. They perhaps raise their consciousness vibration because of a certain combination of crystal that is in front of them.
Mm.
Perhaps they feel that they get a lot of energy from these different forms of crystal. And I'm not saying that that energy does not exist. In fact, of course, different minerals have different properties. And those properties are something that are translated from the physical state of reality and what that actually means chemically or organically to the mineral and what it actually translates to in the way of the spiritual ascension of the mind and consciousness. And how that then translates and commutes that consciousness to greater thinking or levitation of their thoughts, you see? It may be then that a being would actually use a crystal to perform certain healing rites. And in which case, what they are doing is they are really not using the crystal to perform the healing rites, but they are using their minds to concentrate upon that so that the spirit world are actually able to draw close. and use their energy to bring the healing ability, you see. Now, I understand that a lot of people will refute this and be up in arms, no doubt, from this simple saying. All I am using is that these are different allegories for you to have a prop, something there for you to detract your mind from the thought of what you are trying to achieve into actually vacating and leaving a space so that the spirit world are actually able to achieve it. It is not lessening your ability to create awareness or to create a vacancy so that the spirit world are able to fulfill it, you see. And it is not to say that this takes anything away from any physical being or their relationship between the objects or the things they use in order to create a spiritual attraction or a sensitivity between the spirit world and the physical side of life.
There can be a lot of controversy around getting a reading. I think the main thing is not to tell a medium anything about you yourself before you have a reading. But they can also people can also spend a lot of their life chasing the ultimate reading until they get what they want to hear, really.
Yes, my dear friend, but I also believe that it will depend upon the kind of reading that they are seeking, that they are looking for. It may be that there are certain inquiries that they wish to make about certain aspects of their life. It is not necessarily always that they are looking for a reading to have an affirmation from a loved one or a certain identity revealed about their future life or some such thing, or a relic of their past that they wish to use as evidence for the continuation of life, you see?
Yes. I think what I'm getting at is the fact that a lot of people are just so intent on having their reading rule their lives that instead of letting their lives just roll on and getting into the flow of their positivity and their synchronicity of life, sometimes that people can get a bit embroiled in this situation.
Yes, quite so, yes, and will never set foot outside the door unless they have had a reading of some description or another.
Yes.
Yes, well, I understand that. And I suppose that is a form of insecurity that people may feel because of the way their life course has taken them thus far. It simply means that they are not positive or assertive about their life and that they need these different structures in order to regulate their lives, to feel safe, to feel that they are always making the right moves or the right pathway through to the course of their life.
Yes, I think, but you can actually change your future. You can be predicted something in a reading that isn't necessarily going to happen, is it? That you
no,
can
of
actually
course.
Change your future.
Yes, well, I suppose,
yourself.
My dear friend, absolutely. And this is the point, really, that we wish to make, is that the future is yours. You are not ruled or governed by some divine source that has mapped out your entire life from one end to another. There will always be the interaction available between your physical state and someone else's physical state of reality. Accidents will happen in physical life because that is the intention of physical life. It is not necessarily the highest intention of physical life, but no matter, that is what, because you are physical matter experience being, that is what your interaction is. You are, your course of life is the interaction between one another. It is not necessarily that you will continue to be isolated in your instance and that everything is always sent from the spirit world to guide you and keep you safe. It is something that you through intuition must create yourself within your own awareness pathway of your spirit identity and physical self, as well as being the road that you would take for your divine purpose. It may not be, of course, that your divine purpose includes walking over a very busy main road and being run over by a lorry or a car. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
You see, that is something that would obviously be reckless.
Mm.
However, of course, some people will walk in front of a train purely and simply because they wish to do that.
Yes, but for instance, you know, I was told, I don't know, 10 years ago now, that Mick was going to get killed in a yellow truck that we used to have. So, I mean, you know, you don't get too serious about it when these things happen. Be positive and know that you can change these outcomes.
Yes, of course.
It can get scary too, can't it?
Yes, of course. But as I say, these situations tend to rely upon the variable choices that other people may make within their lives, not necessarily that they mean to impact upon you and your life, but that circumstances and the creation of their intention of why they have come to that thought and point of view, their calibration and judgment of their life at that point has brought them to that place. It may be that their decision has averted some form of catastrophe. Perhaps the engineer who forgot to change a pump within a wing of a plane actually finally remembered and did it at the last moment, you see. So therefore, averting the mm-hmm. cause of action that would have taken place.
Mm-hmm.
And the plane meeting its doom, along with the 300 or so passengers that were aboard it. It is not necessarily always going to be the case that the way in which the constraints of mind and consciousness work in the physical reality and their interaction with the spirit world are always going to take place, because the variables that exist within physical time-space and the interaction in physical life one to another are always going to make a difference.
Okay, well, I think we've covered just about everything. I don't know about you.
Yes.
Yes?
Absolutely so.
Yeah. Well, that's been absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And with absolute love, as we say, on your journey, look forward, be bright and positive in your loving road ahead of you. And if there is not love that exists within your life, then find it. Grow it within you. Look at the simplest thing that will bring you love. Even a flower, a leaf upon a tree. The simplest, most perfect issue that surrounds your world of physical reality. Mimicked and represented. Continuing life in the spirit world. Good day.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and thank you so much for listening. Don't forget that on our website is www.spirit-teaching.com. Our books, and they are available in the shops and on Amazon.com. And we do hope you join us next time. Be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye. Thank you.